Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, Deanne? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Coming up this hour on the show, Basketball Hall of Famer Spencer Haywood's going to join us here on the program. He won an NBA championship, a multi-time All-Star in the NBA as well. He'll join us coming up in 20 minutes from now. And in 40 minutes from now, Kyle Busch is going to join us as we get set for NASCAR's postseason. So that's coming up this hour here on the show. Last night, Game 1 NBA Finals was a runaway by the Lakers. Amazingly, the Lakers found themselves up by 30 points at one point late in the second half, and yet here we were early in the game. The Heat had a 13-point lead, and then look at the runs that the Lakers went on. This was the definition of last night's game. The Lakers wanted a 19-3 run to finish the first quarter. They went on a 13-0 run in the second quarter and an 18-3 run in the third. So they had runs, three separate runs, where they outscored the Heat by 16, 13, and 15. The Heat just simply could not stem the tide last night. And LeBron and AD were absolutely phenomenal and unstoppable. And if that's the way that LeBron and AD play, there's no reason to believe otherwise, this is going to be a short series. Because simply put, there is just no answer for the Heat with those two guys. The Heat have to slow them down, have to make them aggravated, have to make them confused or frustrated. They have to play great defense, and then they have to have that chemistry that led them this far, where a different hero steps up every single night, whether it's Butler or Tyler Hero or Goran Dragic or Bam Adebayo or whoever. It has to be somebody. And usually that's not going to work, that ability to find the next guy to pull it off, if the two best players on the floor are playing for the opposing team, which they were last night. LeBron and Anthony Davis were very obviously the two best players on the floor. They dominated, and there just was no answer for the Heat. The big question is the severity of the injuries that the Heat suffered last night. But for Anthony Davis, who is looking to plant himself amongst the very elite of the NBA, we talk about LeBron, we talk about Steph Curry, we talk about James Harden, Giannis, and Kevin Durant. We don't usually put Anthony Davis in that conversation, but we should. He's never won an MVP, but he could end up with the NBA Finals MVP with three more performances like last night. 34-9-5. He's the second youngest player ever in the last three decades to put up those numbers in an NBA Finals game. Only Dwayne Wade was younger back in 06 when he had that phenomenal series for the Heat. By the way, if you're looking for just how good AD was last night, historically speaking, since the merger back in the mid-70s, there's been three guys that had more points in their NBA Finals debut. Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant, and Allen Iverson. That's the company that Anthony Davis is now in after 34 points, 9 boards, and 5 assists in his first ever NBA Finals game. A championship for AD, an NBA Finals MVP, those types of things. That's when we really start paying attention as an American sports culture. It's all fine and dandy when you do things in the regular season, but to really be put in the higher echelon, the legends of the sport, you usually got to get it done in the playoffs, especially in basketball, where you can alter so much individually. Now, last night, game 2 of the Indians and the Yankees was a dandy. It was a back-and-forth affair, multiple stoppages for weather. Finally ends with a DJ LeMahieu RBI in the 9th inning, which puts the Yankees ahead and ultimately seals the Indians' fate. And so the Yankees end up winning 2-0 in a best-of-3 series to move on to take on the 1-seeded Tampa Bay Rays in the ALDS. All these opening round series feed into the AL and NLDS. Now, on Tuesday, you might remember, Mraz had sworn off the Yankee season a month ago. After a 10-game losing streak, he had said, it's over, wave of the white flag, I'm not invested anymore in the Yankees. If I watch the Yankees, it'll only be to break them down journalistically. I'm going to be detached. I'm not going to be invested. It's only going to be from an analytic standpoint. And of course, we called that bluff, saying if the Yankees go on a run, you know you're going to become a honk. He was such an immediate honk already. I mean, he was wearing Yankees t-shirts on Tuesday morning for the show in advance of that night's game. But that morning he said, no. I'm not even going to tweet during this game. This was game 1, going into game 1 Tuesday night. He said, I'm not even going to tweet during this game. James Boccioni back in Mission Control. I'd like you to queue up the 55-second soundbite that we've played a couple of times so far this morning so that our listeners here to the final hour of the show just waking up and getting on board with us know what we're talking about. This was Mraz from Tuesday morning show saying, quote, hold me to it. I'm not going to tweet during the entire series. Let's play the clip.
You're not going to see me tweet about the Yankees this week. You're not.
Really?
No. I'm going to watch every baseball game, sure, but you're not going to see me tweet about it. Absolutely not.
You will not send one Yankees tweet.
You could hold me to that. You could hold me to that. I'm not sending one Yankees tweet tonight. No way. I have no confidence in the world at all. They're going to get shut down.
This is great. Right, so, okay. Mraz has sworn off tweeting for the entire series or the entire playoffs?
This series. I can't say the entire playoffs because I know myself. You never know. A couple 14-0 wins. I get it. I'm a joke. But
yeah,
not this series. I don't trust they're going to win this series. Absolutely not. No way.
Okay, perfect. So, guys, I want you to make sure you are policing Mraz's Twitter handle to make sure there are absolutely no tweets referencing anything Yankees for the entire first-round series against the Indians. Last night during Game 2, Mraz tweeted 14 times about the game, which is a clear and obvious violation of, quote, hold me to it. Hold me to it. I won't tweet the entire series. Early in the morning, Mraz lashed out at us. He blamed us, pointed the finger, cornered animal, saying, I stayed up to the end of the show, end of the game for the betterment of the show. I did it for the show. Shame on you for punishing me. I was doing it for the show, which is, of course, such a lie. He was staying up because he was a Yankees fan, and he's a Yankees, and it was a Yankees game. He said, situation changed. The game was too good. I had to tweet about it. Well, where was that in the preamble there that you just heard? I'll start tweeting if the game gets really good. Come on. Making excuses. Excuse making. Lashing out at us. Excuse making. Then saying, what is this, a dictatorship? I deserve a judge. Can I get a plea deal? You're being unfair. Again, pointing blame. He's the victim, playing the victim. All of these things came out of Mraz's mouth, except not on the air, because I haven't allowed him to speak today on the show, only in our internal chats, G-chat that we use to communicate with one another down the line from all of our different places. We played that clip multiple times, and finally Mraz started to ease up. And there has seemingly been some type of contrition here because he has said, you know what? You're right. Thanks for bringing this to my attention. I said, hold me to it, and nobody ever holds me to it. And this is the discipline I need, so thank you. And we don't know whether he's being genuine and authentic or just trying to get a lesser sentence here. But we do need a punishment. We do need some type of punishment because he has to be held accountable. It can't just be you say whatever and then do whatever, and there is no accountability here on the show. We are not much besides being of our word. On the phones, we start with Richard in Myrtle Beach here on CBS Sports Radio. Richard, good morning. Richard, are you there? Okay. Let's move on to Foxy, who's on Long Island, the infamous Foxy. Foxy, good morning.
DA, thanks for having me.
You got it. What's going on?
I was a little late this morning because I was also up late watching the game, just like Mraz, who is truly an unbiased professional blue checkmark tweeter, and I'm so happy he was up last night tweeting about the Yankee game, actually watching playoff baseball. How refreshing is that?
Shocking, isn't it? Shocking that he was up watching a Yankees playoff game that late.
It really is shocking. That dedicated, unbiased, and professional. Of course, me, my job isn't to actually, you know, state my word on a national radio show, but that's a little bit different. So for Mraz, I really think we need an appeal process here. As someone who is similar to him, like Aroldis Chapman, a Yankee closer, he should be able to appeal this. If it goes into 2021, it goes into 2021.
Okay. Thanks, Foxy. I don't think we want to drag this punishment out until 2021. But here are some things that I like that have been suggested. Al Dukes, the producer of Boomer and Geo, has suggested that Photoshop a Rays jersey onto Mraz, and he is forced to use that as his avatar for as long on Twitter as the Rays are in the playoffs. I also suggested if he tweeted 14 times last night about Yankees and Indians, tweet 14 times about Rays and Yankees in game one, but every tweet has to be complimentary about the Rays. Even if they're losing 16-0, he's got to compliment the Rays. Only Rays tweets during game one, and he has to hit 14 of them. To me, you know, this is kind of like, okay, you want to smoke one cigarette? Let's make you smoke the entire carton. Okay, let's see if you learn your lesson there. These are the types of things. You know, I'm not going to keep him banned on air because what he said on air was stupid, but his violation is mainly on Twitter because he said he was going to do something and then he didn't on Twitter. So I think the punishment has to be on Twitter as well. People have suggested dieting. This is really not a violation of eating. This is a violation of Twitter, you know, Twitter fandom and saying something that you couldn't follow through with. And so I think the punishment needs to fit the crime. The crime was claiming he was going to do something on Twitter that he did not do. Now, we could just take away his Twitter feed. Somebody has suggested, one of our listeners, that somebody else should take over his Twitter feed for the day. And I like that possibility. This is from Jacob. Somebody gets to control his tweets for the entire weekend. Again, something to certainly think about. Now, Bogish is not buying the fact that there's any contrition from Mraz. He believes that this is a distraction, that this is simply him, a diversionary tactic. So you're not buying that Mraz has learned any type of lesson here?
No. I would like to, but we've been burned by this for too long. And in fact, everyone around Sean has been burned by this for three decades now, DA. This is why we're in this situation. This is why he thought it was okay to make this promise. Again, unprovoked, completely on his own, just offered this to us. I'm not going to tweet about the Yankees for this entire series, and then didn't really even make it through game one of the series without putting the tweet out there. And now he's putting babies in our face. We try to be nicer to him because how could you be mean to a guy holding his sweet little daughter? But really, this is about that sweet little girl, DA. We have to get her dad in ship shape so he doesn't spread some of these bad habits onto her. Danielle can't do this by herself. Mm-mm. She needs our help, and Taylor needs our help. We've got to get this right. So even if he is contrite, he still needs to learn, hopefully, a lesson here.
Damn it, Taylor is so cute. Jeez. He's holding her right now at that desk. Boy, is she cute. But
who's
you're not
going to...
You know what? You're not going to... You're not going...
As I said that, she looked at him like, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's him.
But we can't let her grow up in a household where there is no accountability. We can't let her grow up in a household where her father thinks that he can do anything and say anything that he wants. So we need to find out this punishment, figure out this punishment, and get this settled by the end of business today, because we can't let this drag on in an appeals process. I'm sorry, Foxy. We can't let that happen. We need to make sure that we handle this quickly and find resolutions that we can all move on as a show and as a country. Right now, if you watch at watchda.com, Kaplan is putting a big fraud stamp over top of Mraz's face. So clearly, Cap does not believe the genuineness of the apology from Mraz.
Nor is he swayed by the baby's presence, because the baby has fraud on her face now, too.
When we come back, we'll talk NBA Finals. Spencer Haywood's going to join us coming up next. NBA Hall of Famer, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I'm never going to come on the King DA show and correct him. So I was just going to handle that myself and kind of move on quickly, because I respect you too much, man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. DA with you, Damon Amendolara, each and every morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Your phone number is as follows, 855-2124-CBS. Our Twitter handle is DA on CBS. Follow me there. Tweet at me there. If you've got suggestions on the Mraz punishment after he clearly violated his own guidelines, not tweeting during the Yankees and Indians games. He tweeted 14 times last night. Try to blame it on us. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit, car, motorcycle, RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com. to learn more. The poor Minnesota sports fan. Those poor people. I say it all the time. The Minnesota Twins lost again yesterday. They were the higher seed, division winner. Hit tons of home runs. Take it on an Astros team that had just bleeped the bed this year. Sub 500 team. Losing record for the Astros going into the playoffs. Surely, even if the Twins could not win the series, they would win a game. A game. They came into the series having lost 16 consecutive postseason games dating back to 2004. Nope. No such luck. Yesterday, the Twins lose again. They get swept, which means they are now 0-18 dating back to 2004, their last playoff win. 0-18 in playoff games. They don't even win games. They get swept every single playoff series. And when you look at the pain of Minnesota sports fans, the Twins have not won a World Series. The city hasn't won a World Series since 1991. Four major sports. Nobody has won out of the four major sports. They have had WNBA success with the Lynx. But of the four major sports, they have not had a championship since 91. How bad is it? The Timberwolves have been out of the first round of the playoffs once. Once. The Timberwolves have won a playoff series one time, one season, back in 04 when they actually won two series and made it to the conference finals, losing to the Lakers. The only time they've ever won a playoff series. And they have missed the playoffs every year except once for the last 15 seasons. They are 1-15 in making the playoffs. The Minnesota Wild, remember, this is the state of hockey, and they lose their beloved Minnesota North Stars back in the 90s to Dallas. They finally get a team back. They lost their beloved North Stars. They get a team back, and that team gets the conference finals in 03 in season number 3 and has since just had a series of early exits. The Wild won division championship. One. First round exit. The last 2 years, they've missed the playoffs altogether. And then the Vikings. Where to even begin? The Minnesota Vikings lose Super Bowl 4 to the AFL Kansas City Chiefs. After, remember, Super Bowl 3 was supposed to be a total lark. The Jets, on just a given Sunday, happened to be better than the dominant Baltimore Colts. But the following year, the NFL would once again strangle the AFL champion. And so the Chiefs stood no chance against the Vikings. Oh, no. The Chiefs ran away with Super Bowl 4. The Vikings end up with 3 more Super Bowl cracks at it in the 70s. They lose all 3 of those. Their NFC Championship game nightmares are the stuff of legend. 1987, on the doorstep at RFK against Washington, Darren Nelson, swing pass, incomplete. Would have been a game-tying touchdown in the final seconds. 1998, they're 15-1. One of the greatest offenses we've ever seen. Randall Cunningham, Chris Carter, Randy Moss, Robert Smith, Jake Reed. They take on the Dirty Birds. Chip shot field goal to go up by 10. No way the Falcons can come back in the waning minutes at the Metrodome. Oh, missed the field goal. Chip shot field goal. Falcons come back down the field, score a game-tying touchdown, and then win in overtime. Oh, the pain. That was the greatest Vikings team ever. 15-1. And then, of course, 2009, where at the Superdome, Brett Favre with the Vikings throws a ill-advised pass against his body, against the grain, intercepted. Paul Allen voiced the Vikings infamously saying, "What are you doing, man? This isn't Detroit." The Vikings losing on the doorstep of yet another Super Bowl. The pain of Minnesota is real, real, real. And it continues as the Twins get swept and have not won a playoff game in 15 years. By the way, if you're paying attention to Major League Baseball's postseason, this is just classic. They have the bracket at MLB.com, and every round has its own sponsor. Talk about baseball trying to soak everything it's worth for the playoff money and playoff revenue in this season. You had Hankook as your wild card first round sponsor. The ALDS, sponsored by Utz, some of Mraz's favorite chips. The NLDS is sponsored by Deucin. The ALCS, sponsored by Geico. The NLCS, sponsored by Camping World. Really, every round has its own sponsor. Because, you know, we're all ready for the Utz ALDS and the Camping World NLCS. Standing by with our headline this morning is a kind Sir Andrew Bogish. AB, good morning.
DA, hello again. Let me see if I can do this right. Cleveland closer Brad gave a hand to the Yankees in the ninth inning last night.
I felt good warming up. Obviously I had the leadoff walk, and then after that, got ahead of a few guys and I couldn't put them away.
It all began with the vaunted leadoff walk. Brad then handed Gary Sanchez a tying sack fly and DJ LeMahieu a tie-breaking RBI single for his first blown save of this season. Cleveland's year ends 10-9 despite an early 4-1 lead and this late 9-8 edge. This beauty of a game, which required all of us to tweet as much as possible, lasted 4 hours and 50 minutes. It is the longest 9-inning game ever, and that doesn't include 2 rain delays totaling 76 minutes. Winning manager Aaron Boone made an interesting comparison post-game.
That game was a lot of fun to be a part of. You know, I'm 47 years old. I've watched a lot of baseball. I've watched a lot of my dad's playoffs games, been in some really big games, and I don't know how you top that one.
I have a suggestion. A walk-off home run to win the ALCS. How is Aaron Boone did that? How is Aaron Boone forgetting that and saying game two of round one in Cleveland, as crazy it might have been, was somehow the best game he's been a part of? I mean, come on!
Big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First off, I want to say I'm really loving you on Instagram. Loving your post.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
And videotaping on YouTube and Facebook.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We thank you for being with us on a fine Thursday morning around here. DA on CBS Sports Radio. We'll have your epic fail coming up here on the show in a few minutes from now. I love this story from J.C. Treader, the president of the NFLPA, about trying to go all grass. I touched on this a couple of hours ago here on the show, and the fact that you have the president of the NFLPA saying, I've got the stats, and the stats say non-contact injuries happen way more on artificial turf, and we don't want to play on artificial turf anymore, I love. Because it's been a very convenient excuse for owners to just lay down that artificial turf, even though it's far better today, the field turf, than it was years ago with the hard AstroTurf and painted cement. It's far better. Little rubber pellets. We've all run on those in local fields, in high school fields, etc. But I love the fact that finally there's a push from the Players Association, if it's all about safety, to make sure the owners live up to that, with natural grass fields. If they can grow in Green Bay and Chicago and Pittsburgh and Cleveland, you can do it anywhere. Over the weekend in Las Vegas, an emotional and wild win on the track. What a day it was for a hometown hero. It was a victory by Kurt Busch, pushing him into the NASCAR playoffs. And he joins us this morning on the show. Kurt, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Congrats on the big win and a wild race and a wild finish. How was it to win at your hometown track?
It's huge. I mean, I'm still buzzing. I can't quite get caught up on text for some reason. There's just so much love. And you know, the reasoning for it all is the hometown group that helped me with sponsors, you know, their volunteer crew members, and also the 20 years of defeat at that racetrack. That's what made this win so special. It didn't even digest or comprehend to me afterwards that it helped us advance in the playoffs. I was just so happy that I accomplished and conquered my hometown track in Las Vegas.
It's so cool. It's a crazy stat to think you had started there 21 times at the Cup Series and never gotten a win. And you grew up watching that track be built right in the shadows of your hometown. It's got to be kind of a crazy experience to think back to being a kid and watching the track get built and then finally being in the winner's circle.
Well, it just kind of dawned on me after you said 21 times. That's the magic number in blackjack. So. The cards finally unfolded for
yeah.
me, where I get eats in that king to stare at with a huge set of chips sitting on the table. So, what a race! I mean, for us in our Monster Energy Chevy to put ourselves in that position, it came to us late in the race once nightfall came. You know, tracks are real slick in the daytime, especially when it's 95 degrees out in Vegas. And then once nightfall came around, the track cooled off. Our car kept continuing to get better and better, and our long run speed put us in position for the right yellow to come out at the right time, then to jump ahead of all the other leaders, because we could pit when it was under yellow conditions, where everybody else had to pit under green conditions.
Kurt Busch joins us after the emotional win in Vegas last weekend here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, you mentioned it was kind of bittersweet because you did it in your hometown track, but there were no fans. Talking to all the drivers over the course of this summer and now into the fall, feels like that's kind of a common feeling, that It's been great, but without the fans there, it's been a little bit disorienting. How was it, or how has it been really, to race without fans for so much of the season?
It's been pretty difficult. The first race back was almost surreal. Felt like we were all on an island or all out on the salt flats looking around and nobody was there. And the energy and just the whole pre-race atmosphere was silent and dead as far as just that feel. And then, yes, some of the tracks, they've allowed some fans to come in. I think Daytona, for the cutoff race to get into the playoffs, we had 25,000 people, and that you could finally feel that energy. And then Bristol, short track in Tennessee, they allowed about 30,000 people in. And so that little bit, it just now electrifies the place. And so it's so great to have them starting to sprinkle back in. But then Vegas, you know, the state of Nevada said no the week of, and it was crushing. It was crushing to me. I know a lot of friends in the entertainment industry in Vegas. Even like the Maverick Helicopters agency there, they're friends of mine. They're like, our sales have been killed this year with no live events.
And, yeah, Vegas is such the place for live events. Everybody wants the show or the event, the sporting event, the show, the comedy, the music, the club. So it's got to be such a weird kind of like ghost village, if you will, compared to what Vegas normally is. Kurt Busch joins us this morning here on the show. So in addition to this being an emotional win for you and your hometown, I mean, it's also a huge playoff win. It pushes you into the round of eight. I'm wondering, what's the attitude, the mentality like as you make your way through the playoff structure, considering there's been so much tinkering with it over the years with NASCAR?
Yeah, that's the icing on the cake, you know, winning at my hometown. And winning the first race in this round, we now have like this open air feeling around our team. And then we'll get back to work, you know, with Kansas and Texas. And the reason why I say it that way is because those are mile and a half race tracks coming up. And we've been very strong at the mile and a half at Chip Ganassi Racing with good consistency, good points. We won Vegas. We won Kentucky. And so these next two races were the wild cards in this round of Talladega and Roval. And so it's the system. You know, you have to absorb it. You have to adopt it. You have to do whatever it takes to work around what NASCAR has put in place on which tracks they chose to put into these rounds, as well as your strong suits versus other teams' strong suits. And it's all about working through the rounds to get to Phoenix, the championship race. And so with this win in Vegas, it puts us in the round of the Elite Eight. And that was our goal at the beginning of the year, to make sure we get to that round. And then you go all in with a win, hopefully at Kansas or Texas, because we know Martinsville is not a very good track for us statistically at Chip Ganassi Racing. So all in all, we're sitting in a good spot.
It's great. It's a great way to be sitting, as you said. Finally, you made a lot of news this week by saying that it's about 50-50 at 42 years old. Will you come back and race again next year? What will be the factors that you weigh over the course of this offseason?
You know, I feel like the things that I've done in NASCAR and the checklist items that I've been able to accomplish are almost complete. You know, but there's still something out there, and I have great sponsors with Monster Energy and Chevrolet right now. With Chip Ganassi, it's a lot of fun to race for a guy like him, where he's no BS and he demands performance. That's who I am. I love that. You know, there's a new kid coming in at Ganassi next year. His name's Ross Chastain. He reminds me a lot of myself, and there's a lot of old guy wisdom that I have that I can help get to that young kid. So we'll see. I like the next-gen car that I'm seeing on the horizon for NASCAR. I like the schedule with all these road courses that have popped up next year. My wife, she loves to go to the races, but right now hasn't been able to, and nobody's been able to. And that all of this, COVID, the sponsorships, the TV side of it, we'll see how it all weighs in. I don't know if one thing that's more important than the next, other than just happiness with my family.
Well, congratulations on such a cool win last weekend. You guys set up for the round of eight, and next up for NASCAR is this upcoming weekend, Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, NBC Sports. Talladega is next up for NASCAR in the playoff chase. Kurt Busch, our guest here this morning on the show. Kurt, congratulations on the win last weekend, and thanks so much for the time this morning.
You got it. Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Kurt Busch joining us this morning on the show. Very cool story. Let's get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. We had to call Mraz to the carpet for the tweet slash tweets from last night. Here's your fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Last night, I think, was an extraordinary circumstance. You can blame MLB for that. The decision to start the game when they did was so awful it had to be tweeted about. That's fine, DK.
No.
But he tweeted about Tanaka and then Aaron Boone's managerial as well.
Swung on, there it goes again. Oh, my goodness.
And so, I disagree in general with that thought, DA. Like, there is nothing as crazy as the game might have been, as debatable as the start in the weather is. None of it required tweets from Sean. Like, the show is fine without Sean. The game in last night would have been okay without Sean weighing in as the 1 billionth person to say, why is this game getting played in rain and wind? No one thought they should have started that game last night. So he didn't even provide a unique thought on the situation. He was just piling on Major League Baseball.
So, well, they were looking at the board like I was.
Well, that's their mistake.
So no thanks on that thought process either.
Something has to happen, and I will be open-minded about this from the listeners, because this is why we do this show, but I'm not going to sit here and have Mraz say, oh, things changed. Oh, things changed. Well, what changed? You said you wouldn't do something, and then you did it. You said it.
Are you doing theta tonight?
Oh, well, I did this for the betterment of the show. Oh, really? I'm going to shut off your mic for the rest of the show and show you that this is actually a pretty good radio show without you. You don't have to contribute anything. The show actually was relatively successful, surprisingly so, in multiple stops nationwide before you ever came on board. I did it for the betterment of the show.
I love the nightlife, and I like to boogie.
Shockingly, I can actually host a radio show without Mraz's voice on the airwaves. I know it's crazy for him and his ego, but it happens. It happened for many years before this show.
And now they're going to ask once again for a replay review.
So there has to be some level of accountability here. I'm wondering what is appropriate.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Cap has mocked up a Photoshop image where Mraz is dressed as the Rays mascot holding up a sign that says best team in baseball. Pete the Body has weighed in. He's actually off today, but as you might imagine, he wants a pound of flesh from Mraz. He says, I say indefinite probation, banned from all Yankee interaction. When the crew deems a lesson has been learned, he can be reinstated. Also, he needs to denounce the Subway cake bread. Bobby tweets, 14 tweets last night equals 14 days of extra work. One part of extra work every day over the next 14 days, 14 positive tweets, one a day, or 14 positive tweets per day about a Yankees opponents. If the Yankees lose, the remaining days are spent tweeting positive stuff about the team that beat them. Colin tweets, how about a montage of all of his failed Yankees guarantees? TJ, no carb diet for the rest of the playoffs. Guys, we only have a four-hour show, and there's no way we can stop him from eating all of the carbs. We'll figure this out. We'll have a punishment ready to go tomorrow morning here on the DA show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, currently on probation as executive producer. James Boccioni on the Wheels of Steel this morning. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.